I'd like to invite you to turn with me to Psalm 127. And if you have your sheet before you, as we go through Psalm 127. Actually, we're starting off with Psalm 127, in particular verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, those who labor in vain, we're told in the Word of God. And when we come to this passage, it's the overarching theme for the series that we've begun today and for the next few weeks on marriage and family. And we think it's certainly something that's extremely important. A number of the reasons why this series is important for us today. First of all, I'm required by the Lord and by the Lord's people to preach the full counsels of God, not just to pick and choose the things that I like. Well, I'd like to be able to do that, but to preach the full counsels of God, because I will have to give an account before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ if I didn't do that. So first and foremost, the reason is to preach the full counsel of God in a manner that is glorifying to Him. Because it's interesting, too, when you think about marriage and family, those are entities that God created. It's His plan. It's His creation. And when you think of the full counsel of the Word of God from cover to cover in the Bible, you see the preponderance of instructions, of commandments, of promises, of principles, of examples of marriages and families. So you realize it's an important concern that the Lord has too for our marriages, for our families, but not just ours alone, but for the marriages of others and families. And so that's one of the reasons, without a doubt, and certainly we pray that we'll honor the Lord as we seek to fulfill that purpose. Another reason, of course, is our culture. Our cultural drift today, where it's redefining what is a marriage. It's redefining what constitutes a family. And it has that inherent downward pull upon marriages and families today. You've seen it. Shifting values, shifting foundations. In fact, no foundation at all. All things are relative. You know, what's good for you at one time is just okay. Might not be good for me. No sense of absolute truth. And so this whole cultural shift is adversely affecting marriages and families, not only outside of the church, beloved. We should never get into a we-them mentality. But this cultural shift has affected marriages and families within the body of Christ as well. We need to admit that. We need to address that. And that's one of the reasons why a series such as this, building our homes together with the Lord. Another reason is to help, I pray, and to heal, to restore, to strengthen marriage and families within our church family. We all need encouragement. We all need help. We all need strengthening of the Lord, don't we? And so it's our prayer that this series in marriage and family will be that help, will be that healing, that restoration, that strengthening. And then lastly, it would be wrong if we didn't think of the ongoing work that the Holy Spirit wants through our lives. Our life is a church family. And so one of the responsibilities we have with the Word of God is that we would be equipped for the work of the ministry. And so one of the reasons, too, for a series in marriage and family is that we would be equipping one another, encouraging one another in the ministry of helping and giving hope to those who are married and those who have families that are really struggling. And I believe that's part of God's plan, don't you? I pray that you do, that God would be pleased to use us as we encourage and give hope to others. Psalm 127, we've read it, so we'd like to take a look at verses 1 and 2. Generally, commentators divide it into two parts, verses 1 and 2 in the beginning there, and then the verses 3 through 5. The admonitions, if you will, of verses 1 and 2, and the admonitions that we see in verses 3 through 5. One thing that this psalm is not saying, because as we especially look at verses 1 and 2, unless the Lord builds a house, those who labor in vain. It's talking about building, it's talking about protection, it's talking about provision in those two verses. One thing that this psalm is not saying is that all we have to do is just let go and let God do it all. That's not what's being communicated here. We don't want to be sure. We want to be sure that we're not misinterpreted. God calls us into co-laborers with him in our marriages, because it's the covenant with him. He calls us together as co-laborers with him in our families. So it's never a case of letting go and letting God, but also seeing how God is blessing and involved in our marriages and in our families. And we see that very clearly here. The ensuing messages will be one on marriage itself, and then words to the husbands, a word to the wives. And then we'll take a little time in the Word of God looking at families. Okay? God is the one who is the architect of all these things. He's the one who has given us a blueprint, and so we want to be sure that we honor him in doing that. And so it's, again, it's not a case where we sit back and say, okay, Lord, we're married, now let you do it. Okay, Lord, we have a family, and you gave us the kids, now we're going to let you do it. No. And I'm sure you know that that's not true, because there's so many other passages that are correlated with Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2, that talk about our part. Our part in the marriage, as husbands, as wives. Our part in parenting, as parents, as dads and moms. And so let's take a time to look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray now that you'll guide us as we look into this, your word. May it speak to our hearts, may it encourage us, may it correct where there's correction that is needed, may we be reproved where we need to be reproved, Lord, by your Spirit and by your word, that in a manner that is pleasing to you, and Lord, that we would be men and women walking in a manner that is worthy of the gospel and pleasing to you in all things, especially right now as we can contemplate in our marriages as well as in our families. So Lord, we want to thank you for your word, how true it is, and how dependable your word is for us. In spite of the shifting sands we see around us, the firm foundation you've given us in your Son upon your word. Thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. But take a look at the very first part of your outline there, the building our home. Go ahead and put right next to it, we need the Lord. To build our home, we need the Lord. Now, when it's talking about unless the Lord builds a house, the word house there is, I know sometimes you may read a commentator on Psalm 127 and say, you know what they're talking about, the house of the Lord. No, I don't think so. The word house can be used in many ways. Indeed, as a house of the Lord. A house as a literal house. But also it can be used as, if you will, referring to a home where family lives, where marriage happens. So turn with me very quickly, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14, verse 1. Proverbs 14. Just so we understand that he's talking about the home, especially in light of the fact that verses 3 through 5, he talks about family. He talks about children. Children are an inheritance of the Lord. And the legacy that we have in our children. So he's not talking about the house of worship. And he's not talking about just any old house as a structure. This is not architectural 101. This is really building our home together with the Lord. And so in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1, a wise woman, you could also apply that to a man, a wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears down. And we have that potential that every one of us have as a father, as a mother, as a husband, as a wife, to either build up or tear down. And again, take a look at Proverbs verses 20, 24, verse 3. Proverbs 24, verse 3. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. And that's the love of what we're seeking right now, is God's wisdom, God's understanding of how to build our homes together with the Lord. So go back, if you will, to Psalm 127, building our home. First look at verse 1, part A. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. That word vain, of course, has the understanding, if you will, of being empty, being worthless. It's that which what people get into. In fact, you see it a number of times in the book of Proverbs. When people are involved in things that are futile, absolutely worthless, things that are just only temporary, without a thought for God, without a thought or concern for eternity. In fact, we see this in Job. Take a look at Job as far as how the word is used there. In Job, just right before Psalms, in Job 15, verse 31. Job 15, verse 31. It's translated here, the same word, but it's translated worthless. Okay? So Job chapter 15, verse 31, let him not deceive himself by trusting what is worthless, for he will get nothing in return. That's exactly what the psalmist is saying here. Now I know it's attributed, and that's not inspired, verse 27, it says it's attributed to Solomon. It may be Solomon wrote this, we don't know. Those headings above the psalms are not inspired. It may be David wrote to his son Solomon with regard to instruction and admonition about raising a home, a family. But I find it instructive in Job when he's using the same word that is translated vain here in Psalm 127. It's translated worthless. But notice in the context of what he's saying here in Job chapter 15, verse 31, let him not deceive himself by trusting what is worthless. You see, we can deceive ourselves in thinking that we're doing a real good job in our marriage and a real good job in our family, a real good job in our home. But if it's without God, it's worthless. And we'll see why. Okay? And so we don't deceive ourselves and we really see what God is instructing our hearts to do and apply. Come back, if you will, to Psalm 127. Let me just share with you a couple of things what happens when we build in vain. When we build without the Lord, is what we're saying. One of the things is we lack a firm foundation. We lack a good foundation. If we were to build our homes, our marriages, our families without the Lord, we're building without a good foundation. It might be some other foundation, but it's not a good foundation. It's not a lasting foundation. Take a look at it. Well, you just listen to the passage, what the Lord says. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man, one who deceives himself, incidentally, who built his house on sand. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the wind blew, and it beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. And the Lord, in that parable, of course, about hearing the truth and applying the truth in our lives, is saying, you know, if you don't do it, you have no firm foundation for your life. And so we can take that analogy, if you will, of that truth, and apply it here to the building of our homes, our marriages, and our families. And that if we don't do it with the Lord, we're not going to have a good foundation. Not going to have a lasting foundation. There's something else too. It not only will lack a good foundation, but it will have a life without lasting values. It will have a life without lasting values in our marriages and in our homes. We see this in another application within the church, in the Christian life. In 1 Corinthians, listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. By the grace God has given me, I lay a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For one, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And may our marriages and may our homes, according to the word of God, may that foundation be the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray this. And that we need to build on that firm foundation. And he goes on to say, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, and stubble, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. What Paul is using is a building analogy there, of course, and building the things that are of worth, of value. Oh, I don't mean gold. He's using things that have intrinsic value, such as gold and silver, compared to wood, hay, and stubble. And what we're talking about is building in our marriages and building in our homes. Those values that are lasting, not just temporal, not just temporary. And so we have another result of trying to build our homes, our marriages, and our families without the Lord. It will be a life without lasting value. And then thirdly, it will be a life, we will leave a legacy that we never wanted. Now, listen. If we build our marriages and our families, our homes, without the Lord, we will leave a legacy that we never wanted. Let me share with you an example. An example of two men, Jonathan Edwards and Max Jukes. Two different men, born about the same time. Jonathan Edwards was born 1703, and Max Jukes was born 1700. Different lives, different lifestyle, different values, different families, different home life, different legacy. Listen to what happens. Jonathan Edwards, of course, he was a man of God. He loved the Lord. He instructed within his home the things of God and desired to have things of value built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ in his marriage and in his home. The descendants included 300 clergymen from his legacy, if you will. Some were missionaries and some were theological professors. 100 professors, 100 attorneys, 30 judges, one dean of a law school, 60 physicians, one dean of a medical school, 30 mayors of large cities, 60 authors of fine classics, 14 presidents of universities, 3 state governors, 1 controller of the U.S. Treasury, and 1 vice president of the United States. These are the descendants of Jonathan Edwards and his wife. You see, because they were not building their home without the Lord. And so they didn't lack a good foundation. They had a firm foundation, Lord Jesus Christ. And they had those things in their life as a family, in their marriage, in their family with children, things of eternal value. And so therefore their legacy showed that. Now contrasting the same era, a man named Max Jukes, an atheist, didn't believe in God, married to a woman who worked in the occults, other 1,200 descendants. 310 were professional vagrants and died paupers. 440 wrecked their lives through debauchery. 130 went to jail, 7 of them for murder. The average sentence of the others was 13 years in prison. More than 600 became alcoholics. 60 were habitual thieves. 190 became public prostitutes, and 20 became tradesmen. 10 of them learned their trade in prison. That descendancy cost the state of New York $1,250,000. $1,250,000, I'm sorry, and those in the 18th century economy. All I'm saying is that if you and I try to build our marriage and our family without the Lord, we're going to have a legacy we never wanted. We're going to have a legacy we never wanted. 3 ways to build your home without the Lord. Take a look at your book before you. 3 ways to build your home without the Lord. By human efforts. By human efforts alone. Write that in. By human efforts alone. I can do it. I'm a manly man, and I'm going to raise my kids the way I want them. Just like the way I was raised. Or I'm a super mom, and I'm going to do it all by myself. Just by human effort alone is not going to do it. It's not going to do it. Then there's another, if you will, by human wisdom. By human wisdom. Taking the counsel and wisdom of the world for our marriages and for our family. That's a wrong choice, beloved. That's a real wrong choice, especially when you see things that are shifting in our culture, redefining what a marriage is, what a marriage isn't, what a family is, what a family isn't, having no foundation at all. And so, but one of the ways that we do try to build our home without the Lord is through human wisdom. Human wisdom, if you will, in the world today, in raising a family, says, don't let your child cry. He should never cry. She should never cry. Don't ever discipline them. Don't ever spank them. And as they're growing up, don't worry about what they're listening to. Don't even get involved with what they're listening to. Don't care what they see on TV or anything else. Don't worry about that at all. And when they become teenagers, give them all the freedom they need and all the sex protection that they need. You see, that's the philosophy, that's the wisdom of the world, the culture you and I live in. And so one of the ways of building our homes, our families, without the Lord, is to seek human wisdom. And it will run us wrong every time. Psalm 1 is a great psalm to start with your children today. You're saying, but Pastor, my children are all grown up. Well, start with your grandchildren today. Start with Psalm 1. It tells you there are 2 ways to live a life before God. That's the wisdom of God. That's not the wisdom of the world. And so the other way we oftentimes try to build our home without the Lord is by human resources, by strictly materialism. I've seen husbands try to buy their marriage. And what I mean is this. When conflicts come up, they don't resolve them in a biblical fashion. They'll buy their wife another trinket, another jewel. Do you know what I mean? I've seen parents try to buy their family. Instead of spending quality time and investing their lives in the lives of their children, they'll try to buy their children the things. Do you know what I mean? The ways we can wrongly, without the Lord, seek to build our homes. Let's go on, though. When we do build together with the Lord, by God's grace, you need to write that down next to it. By God's grace. First of all, we lay a good foundation. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ, where he says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. You see, when you and I are building our homes, our marriages, our families, together with the Lord, we lay a firm foundation. And we also build things of lasting value, such as spiritual values, spiritual reality, spiritual truths, relational values within the family. You know, it's frightening to see and hear how many families, they never sit down for a meal, even once during the course of the week. Now, maybe you say, well, Bill, that's so small. No, it's a great time to get together and discuss the things. It's not a time to rant and rave, it's a time to discuss. Oh, there's many other ways too. But what I'm saying is that, you know, when we build together with the Lord, we build with things of value, such as spiritual values, relationship values, family devotions, responsibilities, and accountability. These things are important. They're important to us. They're important to the Lord. Number three, as we build together with the Lord by God's grace, we desire a Christ-honoring legacy in the lives of our children. I don't think any parent, no matter who they are, when they bring that baby boy home, and they say, I'm so glad he's going to spend 30 years of his life in state prison. I don't think any dad, any mom ever says that. I think every mom or every dad, when they see that son, that daughter, that baby, they're looking ahead and they're looking for a legacy of hope. Amen. But we do need to say something here. Now listen clearly. We need to get away from the mindset that many Christians have, that there's some magic formula. You know, if I do this and this and this and this, they're all going to turn out perfect. There's no magic formula. There's no cookie cutter where you can make all our kids the same. That's why I say is that we build together with the Lord by the grace of God. But God does work. God does build. God does open hearts. God does save and transform lives. I wish I could tell you, what's the magic formula? Like if you do these three steps, every one of your sons and daughters will be perfect. You see, that's where our faith and our trust, as we build our homes together for the Lord, trusting in sovereign grace, trusting in his work and life, the lives of the children. Because it does happen. Missionaries raise a family, and there's one kid who shakes his fist at God all the rest of his life. Did they go wrong? Did they forget the formula? No. But with the reality of that truth and that experience of many, because it is not a formula, what it is a humble heart before God every day, seeking God's faith on behalf, God's face on behalf of our children. Amen. Protecting our home. We need the Lord protecting our home. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Some of you, many of you, have been in the military. Do you remember those days that you stood watch? Anybody? Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah. And remember the 12 to 6 watch? Boy, I got so tired of that. And you know, they expected me to guard a whole submarine with just a little 45. Ain't gonna happen. Okay. Now you know what I mean. Well, what we say here, take a look at this verse here. It says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain. For protection of our family, when we watch in vain, we have that mentality, it's, ain't gonna happen on my watch. Ain't gonna happen on my watch. Oh, really? Life happens. And I hope you're watching together with the Lord. But when we watch in vain without God, and you have that mentality, it ain't gonna happen on my watch. I'm gonna protect my family. Be ready to be humbled. Be ready to be humbled. But that's a good position to be in. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And some parents are overprotective. One parent heard somewhere that, you know, they lost a kid on a youth trip, and now I'm not going to let my kids go on a youth trip anymore. I think it was some story that was up, you know. Some parents are overprotective. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been overprotective. Now, we need to use common sense. I'm not saying we don't. God gave us common sense. We need to use it. But you know what I mean by being overprotective, don't you? Okay? But that's what happens when we watch and we try to protect without the Lord's help. You see, because you and I had to come to a realization in my own life, in my own family, that, you know, I can't watch enough. I can't be there 7:24 when our kids went off to college, or even before that. But I didn't trust him to the Lord. I can't control enough in their lives. I'd love to. I look at my kids today, I'd love to control a few more things. But I can't. Things happen. I can't watch enough. I can't control enough. I think of Dick and Joe Josephine, a young couple from Prairie College. We met at language study in Toronto before we went out to the mission field. They preceded us. They were with Christian Missionary Alliance. Dick and Joe, a delightful couple with 3 children. They were going to East Kalimantan. We had finally got on the field. They had been on the field probably about a year before us. And then we had gotten news over the radio, all the way over to East Cal, that they were desperate trying to fly Josephine, over to Singapore to a neurosurgeon. You see what happened? Dick and Joe were going out to pick up a dog for their kids there in East Kalimantan. They both wore helmets. That was part of the deal. Joe had her helmet on, she was holding on. She had the box on her lap with the puppy. And as they were going home, they hit a rut. Joe fell off the back. She fell on a rock that had a pointed, sharp point on it, and hit the back of her skull there, just underneath the helmet. Joe never made it to Singapore. She died. We can't watch enough. We can't control enough. But God can use all of those things, you know, because we have to somehow dismiss that idea or that thought that if I'm only spiritually mature enough, if I'm only faithful enough, if I'm serving the Lord, if I'm doing this and doing that for the Lord, that no heartache is going to come. I don't know where we got that idea. We don't see it in Scripture. We don't see it in the lives of the apostles. You see, God allows what he will allow, and he prevents what he prevents because of his choice. God is sovereign. And knowing that God is sovereign in the world that you and I live in, things that he allows to permit, some things that he brings into our lives for his divine purpose. But if we had our druthers, if we had our plan, we'd say, no, Lord, I don't want this. And I've said that many times. And I'm sure you have too. But all I'm drawing out from this Psalm 127, the second part of verse 1, is that, you know, in order for us to build our homes and protect our family, don't do it without the Lord. Because even when things do happen, the Lord is always there to answer them. Amen? Well, all of a sudden, your daughter out there in West Cal has typhoid fever, and you've tried everything. God provides a way. We have seen how God protects. One thing that God has promised in his sovereign providence, one thing that he has promised is sufficient strength whenever we go through those times. There is no trouble, no trial, no temptation taking you, but it's just common to man. It's common to all of us. But God is faithful. When we seek to protect our home without the Lord, we have no one. We have no one. Providing for our home. Number three, we need the Lord. Write that alongside it. We need the Lord. In vain you rise early, stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. What this is not saying is that he's not saying we shouldn't rise up early. You do know that. Now, some teenager's going to be his. See, Mom and Dad, God says it's vain to rise up early. So, Mom and Dad, I can get up at 9 o'clock today. Okay? No, that's not what he's saying. Okay. What he is saying is, if you will, and he's not saying that there's no value in work. There is value in work. And God does provide for our families. And God does provide for us in every way, as the church do, through the work that he provides. So he's not talking about against rising early or working, but he's talking about a workaholic and a wakeaholic. And oftentimes a workaholic is a wakeaholic. You know what I mean? Take a look, if you will. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, but he grants sleep to those he loves. Most commentators see this as when we toil in vain without the Lord, it's the idea of people staying up and planning and scheming, sleepless. They're worried, they're anxious, they're fearful. But the thing is, you and I can never care enough. But God can. Because sometimes, you know, we get so anxious and fearful, or we worry, and we're planning, and all these other things, and we say to ourselves, it's because I really care about my marriage, and I really care about my family. Yes, but you can never care enough, and you can never care what God cares. So we have a choice. Are we going to do it with God or without God? If we do it without God, we're going to eat the bread of sorrow. So it's another translation of this passage. After all of our toiling, rising up early, and going to bed late, we're going to have the bread of sorrows. That's a terrible picture of living a life without God. It really is. That all you have for all the plans, for all the schemes, for all the work, for all those wakeful hours at night is bread. The bread of sorrows. Building our homes together with God is important. When we trust in the Lord, we trust in his provisions. We trust in what he says there. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6. And verse 32 through 34. Let's pick up 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, the unbeliever, running after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Instructions from God's word. Good instructions. Truth. Providing for our home. Di and I have seen the life for us time and time again. Going to Bible college. God provided work. I praise the Lord. And he provided many other ways too. When we're in deputation, God provided for us. We praise his name. I'm sure you have seen how God has provided to us. It's not like he lowers down the sheet and says, there you go ahead and have lunch. No. But he does open doors for employment, doesn't he? This is not saying that we shouldn't work, Psalm 127, in the latter part of it, verse 2. It's saying that all that God provides. So don't worry about what we'll eat. Don't worry about what we'll drink. Don't worry about what we'll wear. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The Lord gives sleep. He gives rest. He gives restoration. He gives a quietness of heart. He gives a contentedness of mind. All of that is encompassed in that statement there. He gives sleep to his beloved. He gives sleep to his beloved who say, Lord, I will not build my marriage. I will not build my family without you, Lord. I need you. Lord, I cannot protect my marriage. I cannot protect my family. Lord, I need you. I will not do it without you. Lord, I cannot provide for every need my family has. But I'm trusting in you that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Christ continually reminds us, not just in certain areas of our Christian life, but in every area of our life, in our marriages, in our families, in our homes, in the church life, where we work, in our neighborhood, that without Jesus Christ we can do nothing. That's why this is an overarching theme for marriage and family. Building our homes, building our marriages, our families together with the Lord. It's so important. Now again, the rationale, the reason, and the prayer behind this is certainly to present God's full counsels, but also that you and I would be equipped from God's word to help others. There are those around us who are struggling in their marriages, in their families. Four indicators. You have those sheet before you. Four indicators that we are trying to do this all on our own without the Lord. Let me just quickly run through them very quickly for you. I found this to be true in my own heart, when I realized I'm trying to do it on my own and not together with the Lord. First thing, anger. Write that down, anger. You see, when I try and I fail, I get angry at God, I get angry at my wife, I get angry at my kids, I get angry at myself too. That's one of the first indicators for Bill Gray that I'm trying to do in my own flesh, in my own strength. That I'm not building my family, my marriage, together with the Lord. Anger. Anxiety. Number two. Have you ever been consumed with worry? I'm not handing it to you to raise your hand, but you know what I'm talking about. Another indication that we're trying to do it on our own is when we get anxious, when we worry. Number three, we become impatient. You see, when I become impatient, I realize I'm putting God on my timetable. I'm saying, Lord, I want you to do it today. Right now. That's wrong. If I believe in a sovereign God, I also believe that he's in sovereign control of the times of my life and the events of my life, as he is in yours also. You see, God will prevent what he wants to prevent, and he will allow what he wants to allow to come into our lives. It's his choice. He's sovereign. He's God. I'm not. And neither are you. So anger, anxiety, impatience. The last one I know is an indicator to me, Bill Gray, when I'm trying to do things on my own. My marriage, my home, my kids. Emptiness. Emptiness. When I feel spiritually depleted. Have you ever been there? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I know you've been there. Because it happens to all of us. But that's an indicator that we're trying to do it on our own in life. Those four things, anger, anxiety, impatience, emptiness, are good indicators that we're trying to do it all on our own. Let me just close with just one verse, one passage. Proverbs chapter 3. Great passage to teach our sons and daughters, our grandsons and granddaughters, so that we learn that we cannot do these things on our own, but we build our family, our marriage together with the Lord. We protect them together with the Lord, His protecting hand, His sovereign hand in our lives, and we provide together with the Lord's provision. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. You know, beloved, if you don't do that, if I don't do that, everything else is worthless, it's vain, it's empty. That's a fact. That's a fact. I've tried it. It doesn't work. But this does. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but all your ways acknowledge. That's a beautiful term. I know I mentioned here before, but please forgive me if I repeat myself. That's okay. It's a good truth here. The word acknowledge here is from the Hebrew word yada. It means a personal relationship with Him. In all your ways, remember your relationship with Him. He is in your life. He is working in your life. He is in your marriage, working in your marriage. He is in your family, the family that God, by His grace, has given you. That's a personal relationship. So it's not just some tacit acknowledgement. Oh yeah, I believe in God. That's not what it's talking about. That's why the writer used the Hebrew word yada. It's a deep, intimate relationship knowledge. It's like you know your wife. Like your wife knows you. And all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. How will you respond to God's word today? I can't do it for you, but I must implore you to do something. Because to do nothing, it's choice in itself, isn't it? What will you do with God's word in response to God's word today? Maybe you're here this morning and say, Bill, I don't even know the Lord. I know about Him. Well, beloved, friend, you're in a good place. I got good news for you. I got great news for you. You can begin right now today in that relationship, that yada with the Lord, in His relationship with you as a child of God. But as many as received Jesus Christ, to them He gave the power to become the child of God. A, acknowledge you're a sinner under the condemning judgment of God. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I know I've sinned. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against others. And rightfully, I'm judged as a sinner by you for all of eternity. B, believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that He rose again from the grave, that the payment was made in full when He declared, "It is finished. I paid in full for your sins." B, believe in Him. C, confess Him as your Lord. You can do that today, beloved, dear friend. Acknowledge you were a sinner, that Christ died for your sins. Believe in His finished work and confess Him. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God is raised from the dead, we shall be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What is your decision with regard to your marriage? What is your decision with regard to your family? I pray it's a decision that you will build, you will protect, because you have a part in that too, and you will provide, but together with God. Amen. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. It's true, it's firm, it's established. When all things move and drift away, your word remains firm. Thank you, Father, that you invite us, you instruct us, you call us to labor together with you in our marriages, in our families, in your church, Lord Jesus. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
come to the part of our service this morning where we worship the Lord with our gifts. Giving is just as much part of worship as singing to the Lord. In fact, you may say, I can't sing at all. Well, you can give. God honors our giving when we give to Him with joyful hearts. So let's give with joyful hearts this morning to the Lord's mantle.